This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Since its enactment in 1973, the Texas Open Records Act has been the teeth in the watchdog for public information and protecting the public's interest in how Texas government operates. But many said that watchdog lost some of its sharpest incisors when the Texas Supreme Court opened up a major loophole and closed off public records from private entities doing business with the government. Now, two lawmakers have filed bipartisan legislation to close that loophole and protect the public's right to know. We're going to be joined by those lawmakers a little bit later in the program, but first we have with us to talk about this Kelly Shannon, the Executive Director of the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas, and Michael Schneider, the Vice President of Legislative and Regulatory Affairs for the Texas Association of Broadcasters. And we want you, the listener, into this conversation as well. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email questions and comments to the source at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. Kelly, Michael, welcome to The Source. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So, Kelly, you're at the studios of KUT in Austin. Great for you to have you there. Tell us, why are you paying so much attention to this ruling from the Texas Supreme Court? What does this mean for the taxpayer of Texas?
Sure. Well, there were two rulings, and they were in 2015, and those are what we're addressing in a couple of bills this session. As you mentioned, the Texas Public Information Act has always been very strong, and we want to maintain that. What's happened is there were two rulings. One was known as the Boeing case, and one was known as the Greater Houston Partnership case. And those do kind of slightly different things, but what they do is put certain public records off limits. The people of Texas had always been able to view how their taxpayer money is spent for the most part. And a lot of contracts and other documents dealing with taxpayer money were put off limits by these rulings.
So the ruling, the judges in the state Supreme Court, and they ruled 7-1, I guess, was it in the Boeing case it was 7-1 or both of them, Kelly?
Yeah, the Boeing case was 7-1.
And they weighed the rights of the corporate entity in order to maintain its secrets, in order to be competitive against the rights of the taxpayers and the public to know what its local governments are doing. Was that what they were looking at?
Yeah, it gets a little complicated, and we can get into more of it later, too. But basically, always there has been a trade secret exemption under the Texas Public Information Act, and that still is the case. So businesses that did, you know, work with the government, had contracts with the government, they could always seek through the proper channels through the government to keep some information off limits if they felt like it violated their trade secrets and proprietary information. That hasn't changed. But what this Boeing ruling did is it really changed the threshold. And instead of it just being a trade secrets argument, it gave these companies doing business with the government, as well as the government itself, this very low threshold of just saying, hey, if this information is released, this is going to put me at any competitive disadvantage in the future. They can claim any competitive disadvantage, not just a decisive disadvantage, but any. So that basically lets a company just say, hey, I want these records off limits. An attorney general's ruling has to let them keep them off limits, basically.
Have we seen any abuses of that? To make you think, like, really, you're not going to share this information? People really need to know this?
Yeah, there have been a lot of different examples. There's been hundreds of rulings through the attorney general's office already about information that's kept off limits. But it's anything as varied as, like, say, food contracts at school districts or translation contracts with a state agency, the executive search contract out in El Paso. Not the details of the search, just the money that's being paid for that contract. And the one that we mention a lot is down in McAllen, Enrique Iglesias was hired to sing at a holiday concert, and taxpayer money was used, and the city of McAllen was able to keep that off limits and not tell the people of the area how much of their taxpayer money was being spent on this holiday parade. you know, the basics of all of this is the people have a right to know how their taxpayer money is being spent. That's the crux of it all. And so those are some of the examples.
Michael Schneider over at the Texas Association of Broadcasters, what are your concerns?
Well, basically, it's the same as Kelly's. It's this particular ruling has created a massive loophole in the act, and we're talking about the public not knowing details concerning finalized contracts with the government. I mean, these are taxpayer dollars we're talking about, and we're not knowing the details about them. And, you know, Kelly gave some good examples there. Another one that we can point to is down in Houston, the agreement that Uber has to provide rideshare services down in the Houston area. They've been able to use this ruling to hold off on releasing information about how they operate, what kind of information about their drivers and such, which, you know, cab companies that do business, they have to provide that kind of information. So it's a problem in many respects, but it's Kelly noted that there was a number of cases with the Attorney General's office. The last estimate I heard, there are over 300 cases that have been cited by local governmental bodies when they're seeking to get a clarification on whether to release information or not that have cited Boeing. And that's just since, you know, the summer of 2015. And it's a serious enough problem that not only these two lawmakers who are going to be with you later in the hour have filed legislation on it, but there have been other lawmakers who have said it's a problem too. So, this bill, you know, is going to address that particular issue. But the you know, the other court ruling that has been called into question here, which is the ruling involving the Greater Houston Partnership, that essentially is that redefined, you know, what a publicly funded private entity is subject to the Texas Public Information Act. The Greater Houston Partnership is a group down in Houston area who does basically economic development services. You know, they're out seeking new businesses to come to the Houston area. And essentially what the federal appeals, or what the Supreme Court did in this case, also in the summer of 2015, was they decided to throw out a standard that had been used to make decisions on whether to rule for release or not, that had been developed by the Attorney General's office and had been used in a federal case going back to the 1980s called the Nealon case. And essentially it set up a three-pronged test to determine whether or not you you know, you had to divulge the information. And it came down to the one that the prong that normally caught most people's attention was, you know, did they provide services that would normally be provided by a governmental body? And essentially the court threw out this test, and the problem with it is that they've abandoned this the standard, and so essentially they said that the Public Information Act is only applying to those private entities who are sustained by public funds. You know, Greater Houston Partnership had argued that they were just receiving a small portion of their annual budget from local government, and therefore was not subject to the act. So,
okay, so that is a loss of transparency in that area. We're going to take a quick
loss of transparency. Think of how many economic development entities that are out there that are not governmental. They're essentially quasi-governmental because they're receiving government funds.
But Michael, I'm taking a quick break right here. We'll be right back. Jim, hang on. We're going to take your call. This is The Source. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Issues infecting San Antonio and across the state. Here in San Antonio, the study for a downtown baseball field. We never got to see that study. Also, questions about the Visit San Antonio, the making a nonprofit entity out of the San Antonio Visitors Bureau, whether that was done in order to shield secrets from the public. Questions about the Hemisphere Park development, if that was done. You know, there are some issues, some questions about how that works. We're not able to find out that information because of a change to the Texas Open Records Act, a decision by the Texas Supreme Court in the Boeing case and a Houston Greater Partnership case, and how there is a law being proposed in Austin this session that could change that, could close that loophole, and why your transparency, your right to know is being challenged at this moment on that issue. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, and Jim is on the line. Hey, Jim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, I hope that there's an outpouring of support for closing the loophole. You know, it's indicative of what's happening on so many fronts, the erosion of democracy, transparency. You know, it fits with this creation of almost the you might call them the imperial class and the oligarchy that want to take control. And, you know, it's happening in other states as well. I'm a little more familiar with some of the states in the Mid-Atlantic where there have been similar court rulings. And most of those states have faltered. They haven't actually been able to pass legislation that's actually dealt with it. And it's a travesty. And it's only the tip of the iceberg. These types of things, once the power brokers and the holders of the purse strings gain more control and more secrecy, it never benefits the people. The trend is always to the detriment of the people. And I hope Texas, with our heritage of standing up for individuals and standing up for liberty, I hope that we can be one of the states that will hold the line on this.
All right, Jim, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Let me get your reaction, Kelly Shannon, to Jim's comments.
Yeah, Jim, I really appreciate those comments. And you just hit it on the head. I mean, what we at the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas were all about is advocating for the First Amendment rights of free speech and press and the right of the people to open government. And we see those as going hand in hand. If you don't have information about your government, it's impossible to really fully exercise your right of free speech about your democracy and to get involved in your democracy. So you've got to have that information. And the more closed off it is, the more it keeps the people from participating in their government. And our Texas Public Information Act, right at the front of the law, talks about how the government belongs to the people and it's the people's government. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I do hope that you know, spirit of individuality and liberty in Texas really prevails and people remember just how important that is in our state and they work with their local legislators to voice support for re-strengthening the Public Information Act.
Michael Schneider at the Texas Association of Broadcasters. This 1973 Texas Open Records Act was born out of scandal. What was it that that did that?
It was the Sharpstown stock scandal, and it was a scandal that was born in actually mostly the Texas House of Representatives. But essentially, you know, we had an issue that people reacted to quite strongly. A number of lawmakers were brought down by the scandal, as was the Speaker of the House. And the Texas Public Information Act, thankfully, was created as a result of that. And it states at the very beginning of it that there's a presumption of openness when it comes to the public's records. You know, people often think of these as media laws, and that's really an unfortunate misnomer because these are laws that every citizen of Texas can utilize to find out how their taxpayer dollars are being spent. And you know, it's one way that we, as an effective democracy, can be involved and can hold those who we elect accountable. And you know, I don't know about you, but if I'm paying money in the form of taxes, I really want to know that money's being well spent. And there are times that you know, that money is not well spent. But you know, being able to shield that information makes that something that can happen. And that's why rulings like these, too, are a problem.
And Kelly Shannon, how big is this loophole?
Well, really big because and it's a couple of different loopholes that were created by those two different rulings. And as we were mentioning earlier, some of the examples with the Boeing ruling and how there have been hundreds now of cases of withholding of records. And with the Greater Houston Partnership issue, you've mentioned some issues there that y'all are concerned about in San Antonio. And I was just speaking to a group the other day in San Antonio, and they brought up some of those very issues. And but elsewhere in the state, it's a concern as well. And the worry is that now there's an incentive for governments to put more information off limits with this Greater Houston Partnership case by creating nonprofits that are going to do traditional government functions and thus not really be part of the government, and then under this ruling wouldn't have public scrutiny. There's an interesting case up in Dallas involving the State Fair of Texas, and there's been a court case going around. There's been some back and forth and appeals, but you know, some believe that the State Fair of Texas is a public entity. Others argue not. But, you know, the proliferation of this idea of keeping information off limits by just kind of placing it over there in this different box that are created by these rulings, I mean, that's a real concern.
So with more than 300 rulings by the Texas Attorney General's office that documents can be withheld from the public based upon the Boeing decision, and that number is growing all the time. I mean, Kelly, do you think that it's really only tells half the story, because there's maybe reporters aren't even asking these questions anymore because they know it's not going to get anywhere?
Well, yes, exactly. These rulings just have a real chilling effect, because if, and not just reporters, but members of the public, if a member of the public thinks that they cannot even get information because it's off limits, well, why bother trying? That becomes the attitude. So it just kind of puts a hush on curious taxpayers out there who might otherwise be seeking information and trying to understand how their government is functioning. So, yeah, it beyond the tangibles, there's that mood that goes out there, and also the knowledge that perhaps our Public Information Act is just not as strong as it once was, and that's a shame.
And Michael Schneider, is the concern that there's corruption, that there's sweetheart deals going out there using public dollars, or incompetence, that sometimes these lawmakers aren't doing their due diligence?
I think it's the concern is that both. I mean, we have seen numerous examples, you know, in the hundreds of years that we've had this democracy here in the U.S., of taxpayer dollars that were not spent wisely. And we've also seen issues where people who have been have had access to public funds have enriched themselves accordingly, and also bad decisions. Whether or not one calls that incompetence or not, well, you know, it's a judgment call. But the basic issue is that without this information, the public cannot make those kinds of informed decisions. You'd think this would be as American as mom and apple pie, but Kelly and I can both tell you that every year there are attempts to erode the Texas Public Information Act, and it's not just the court decisions. It's, you know, bills that are filed by lawmakers that would weaken aspects of the act, and occasionally we get real fighters out there who believe that this is, you know, the Public Information Act, the Open Meetings Act, are two laws that are very beneficial and file good legislation. So this is, you know, example of that. But there are others out there who have filed good bills too. And it's not just these court rulings that are and laws that are being used to essentially prevent the public from seeing information. Cities, for example, have used the attorney-client privilege to farm out investigations into a city practice in which there is a potential scandal to a law firm. And the law firm will investigate and provide a report for the city. And that report is not subject to the Public Information Act because it's part of an attorney-client privilege. And that's happened with greater frequency in the last 10 years. Didn't used to, but it does.
So this was the result of two Texas Supreme Court decisions, and it wasn't even close. And the Texas Supreme Court is an elected body. But unfortunately, Michael, it doesn't seem to be an elected body that people pay a lot of attention to when they go to vote. It's pretty much a straight ticket kind of a thing, isn't it?
Yes, and I mean, it's certainly been the case the last couple elections. We actually had a justice who switched parties, I believe, in 2014 and ran again in this election cycle, and he was a Republican and became a Democrat and got knocked out of office. So it has been a majority Republican court for quite some time now. But the court, you know, these are two bad decisions. Over the years, the Supreme Court has made some really good decisions on open government as well. But these are two that we strongly disagree with, and we think they're not in the public's best interest.
And Kelly, can you add to that?
Yeah, I sure can. as Michael said, there have been some good decisions out of the courts, too. And what we like to emphasize is that transparency in government and open government, it's not a partisan issue. It's a big tent issue that everybody is interested in and should be interested in. And if you just look at these bills, the bills that address the Boeing and the Greater Houston Partnership rulings, I mean, those are being filed by a Democrat in the Senate, Kirk Watson, and then a Republican in the House, Giovanni Capriglione. And they are working in a bipartisan fashion because they really believe in government transparency. So we have support for open government from both sides of the aisle in the Texas legislature and all types of groups. So this crosses party lines. And, you know, the key is we just have to all remember what the basics of our government is the people having a right to know so that they can participate in their democracy. And as Michael mentioned a moment ago, it's like sometimes with government and the spending of money, it's not that there's even corruption or mismanagement, but just a disagreement on the decisions and how is the money to be spent. Some people have different priorities than others. But if we don't even know how that money is being spent, how can we even begin to have that conversation?
Right, but there's the question about sunshine being the best disinfectant. We hear it all the time. And it seemed like this was a vote that, I mean, were you surprised when you heard the outcome, Kelly? I mean, when you saw the rationale, was it a head-scratcher for you?
Well, it's a head-scratcher for me. But, you know, you can never predict what a court is going to do and how they're going to interpret. But as like the dissenter in the Boeing case was Justice Jeff Boyd, and he went to the actual wording of the Public Information Act and pointed out, as Michael said earlier, that there's this presumption of openness. And the law is supposed to tend towards the requester, you know, the person requesting the information. There should only be a few exceptions of when that information is withheld. So if you really look at the way the law was written and the way it's been used for over 40 years, yeah, these were head scratchers.
And Michael, do you encourage people to speak out and make their voices known, to reach out to their lawmakers? Will it make a difference in getting something like this passed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you believe that you should know how your government is spending your tax dollars, then, yeah, you should weigh in on these bills. You should talk to your local lawmaker, let them know that transparency in government is important to you. And, there are plenty of lawmakers from the San Antonio area that, you know, when these bills start to move in the legislature, should be told by the folks who are listening that I believe in open government, I believe in knowing how my tax dollars are being spent, and I want you to vote yes on these bills.
And so there are lawmakers who are on the fence trying to figure out whether or not to close this loophole or not.
I don't know if I would say on the fence, but there are definitely, there are groups that who represent interests that might be affected by both of these proposals. And they're certainly going to let their viewpoints be known to that local lawmaker. But, you know, ultimately, I firmly believe that there's a great group of people serving the Texas legislature. There are really people who strongly believe in open government on both sides of the aisle, as Kelly has pointed out.
Right.
And if the public makes its voice known, I think they'll do the right thing in this
Okay.
case.
Michael Schneider, I got to let you go. Thank you so much. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. The number is 210-614-8980. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. If you believe that it is a right for the taxpayer to know how their money is being spent by the government, and that's even true when the governments like San Antonio and school districts enter into contracts with private companies, then you probably are very interested in what we're having to talk about today, because the Texas Supreme Court has ruled in two different cases that maybe you don't get to know that maybe that corporations, their right to privacy is greater than your right to know. know. But a coalition, a bipartisan coalition of Texas lawmakers say that is not in the best interest of Texans and taxpayers. They are pushing for a new law to close that loophole. We invite you into our conversation as we talk about this. We can talk about how this impacts here in San Antonio with certain things like the study for a baseball field in downtown San Antonio, why that was not revealed to the public. Also, what's happening with the Visit San Antonio, the privatization, a nonprofit privatization of the Visitors Bureau, and other issues that we have here in town. 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined now by the two lawmakers who are filing law legislation to close that loophole. We've got State Senator Kirk Watson, District 14, former mayor of Austin, and also Texas House Representative from District 98, and he's Republican Giovanni Cabriglione. And welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here.
Good to be here. Thank you very much for having us.
So, Senator, I'll start off with you, since you're the high-ranking guy here. Why did you decide to jump in on this?
Well, because I've always been an advocate for greater public information and making sure that taxpayers and the people are able to, in essence, hold their government accountable by having information available to them. And these two Supreme Court cases, one is generally referred to as the Boeing case, and the other is the Greater Houston Partnership case, they kind of blew big old holes in a pretty robust Public Information Act. And so Representative Capriglione and I have decided that we want to plug those holes and give the people access to information.
And so, Representative, you are no lightweight Republican conservative. You really are, a straight arrow in that field. And here you are filing a bill that's very similar to Senator Kirk Watson challenging the Texas Supreme Court's decision. Why did you do that?
Well, first of all, I always enjoy working with Senator Watson, but I think it's also important for people to know that this is not a partisan issue. Okay, this is just. Transparency is one of those things that each one of us as taxpayers, as residents here of Texas, have the just the right to be able to find this information out. And so I think part of the reason I wanted to work with Senator Watson is not just that he's very good at these issues, but also I think we want to show this is not a Senate deal, this is not a House deal, this is not a Democrat, this is not a Republican. This is a bill that will help the public.
And so, Kelly Shannon, you're still with us, right?
Yes, okay. I am.
All right. From the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas, Executive Director. So what does it mean to you when you see that you do have representation from both major parties saying this is a loophole that's got to close?
Well, as I was saying earlier, open government and transparency, and as the representative just said, it's not a partisan issue. It's just what we as Texans ought to be about. So we're always pleased that every session we have Republicans and Democrats working with us on these issues. It's not anything that, one side or the other gravitates to. And we have all kinds of groups and individuals around Texas who support our cause of all different stripes. So, it means a lot. But I think what it really tells us is it's just a basic of government that the people have a right to know. They have a right to know how their taxpayer money is spent. And then that's how they can fully participate in their government.
Sure. I mean, we make the argument it's a basic of government and people have a right to know. Yet the Texas Supreme Court on that day on these two cases saw it differently. So, Senator Watson, does the Supreme Court do these things in anticipation that the legislature will come back around and shore it up? They're just looking at the law as it is and seeing, well, then go fix the law?
Well, I actually think had they looked at the law as it is, we wouldn't have this problem to some great degree. Because, for example, in the Greater Houston Partnership case, the problem they created is that they abandoned a decades-old test. It was known as the Neyland test, and said that the Public Information Act, what the court said in the Greater Houston Partnership case, was it only applies if a private entity is sustained by public funds, meaning that the public could enter into a contract for a private entity to do something that is, in essence, a service traditionally provided by a governmental body, but unless that money actually sustained that private entity, they could keep it secret. Well, the Neyland threshold has been there forever, and the court seemed to basically ignore the Public Information Act's text, because what the text actually says is that you get that exemption only, you don't have the exemption if the private entity is supported in whole or in part by public funds. So I'm not sure why the court ruled that way, but it certainly created the need for people to step up and us to fix it in the legislature.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join our conversation, if you want to voice your support or opposition to these bills that would shore up this loophole in the public's right to know when it comes to private entities doing the business of the government with taxpayer dollars, either in whole or in part. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So, Representative Capriglione, how, when it comes to crafting this legislation, you just can't write one that says, ignore that ruling from the Supreme Court. You've got to get right into the nitty gritty, into the code of how the government works, right?
That's right. And in both of these, what it comes down to, in a way, is that the Supreme Court had kind of ignored actual procedural precedent on how the Attorney General had been working with it, and kind of looked at some of the definitions or some of the ways that has been done in the current Public Information Act. So what we do in both pieces of legislation, in part, is we go and we say, okay, we can't just say ignore that ruling. What we say is, okay, this is what we meant when this law was put in there. This is what the definitions or what the intent of it was. And in both of these situations, what we're trying to do, in effect, though, is exactly what you said, which is to say that ruling didn't happen. Let's go back to where everyone thought it was. Where, when we file an open records request, a business can't just claim a competitive disadvantage and get away scot-free from not having to give that information. Or let's go back to the point where you can't just have a sidecar government entity that's private from the individuals but still using taxpayer dollars and still providing taxpayer services. So that's how that's constructed, and you know, and the thing is, as we go over this next 118 days or so, we're going to have a lot of people telling us that the words should be this way, and maybe the words should be another way, and so that's what we'll be working on. But if I can just also say, because you have mentioned, people should absolutely be calling their state senators and state representatives, asking them to sponsor the bill, to co-author the bill, or whatever the bill. That way, they can publicly show support for both of these pieces of legislation.
But it sounds like you're saying that this legislation says, essentially, in case you didn't hear us the first time, Texas
right.
Supreme Court, this is what we right. really meant.
Right.
He says that well. He's right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's get a caller on the air, 210-614-8980 with Larry. And Larry, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you for this. I've just got a question about how the definition of a company/corporation feeds in as being a person, feeds into this public information debate or question that's being raised, because if the company is considered a person, doesn't that person, per se, have the right to privacy?
Thank you for the question, Larry. And so, Senator.
Yeah, good question. In this instance, it's not we're not defining corporations like you think of as an individual person. In fact, corporations are, or as you implied in your question, corporations are allowed to do business in the state of Texas only because the state of Texas allows them to do business in the state. And so they have to comply with the laws of the state as they're drafted. The way we're drafting this is to say that if a corporation, for example, in the example I was using earlier from the Greater Houston Partnership matter, if a corporation is receiving public funds, unless those funds are, you know, part of a pursuant to an arm's length contract for services, or the corporation receives public funds under a contract that indicates, the way we phrase that, a common purpose or creates an agency type relationship. In other words, it's the agent of the public entity, or is providing services that we traditionally see provided by a governmental body. Then they, in essence, are going to step into the shoes of the governmental body. And if they are supported in whole or in part by public funds, then they are required to provide that. If they want to have privacy, then they shouldn't enter into that contract with the government, because they're then doing the people's work and taking the people's money, tax dollars, and so they're going to have to disclose it.
That's right. And if I could just continue on with what the senator was saying, is this doesn't get into trade secrets. It doesn't get into proprietary or confidential information. Business won't have to disclose Social Security numbers of its employees.
That's a good
this
point.
Is just so that they can't hide behind this term, hey, that information would be a competitive disadvantage. I don't want you to know how much I'm charging. I don't want my competitors to know how much I'm charging you, the taxpayers, for that. So it's. I don't think it necessarily gets into the privacy part of it if you think of it as trade secrets, but it does say if you're taking a check and you're taking government money, you're going to have to reveal some more information.
Yeah, and one other thing I might add to that, because the representative is exactly right and that's well explained, one other thing I would add to that is that the Public Information Act has, for example, if you have a trade secret, it has an exemption for trade secrets. Mm. What happened in the Boeing case, though, was that the court took that very far beyond a particular competitive situation and was in essence saying that the company that was bidding on something didn't have to turn over information about even the final contract.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Two Texas lawmakers, backed by a broad coalition of public information advocates, have filed bipartisan legislation to reverse the impact of a court decision that said creates an enormous loophole in the Texas Public Information Act, which had been regarded as one of the strongest open government laws in the nation. We're joined by these two lawmakers, a Democrat Kurt Watson, Senator representing District 14, and also the Republican State Texas House Representative from District 98, Giovanni Cabriglione. Also with us is Kelly Shannon, the Executive Director of the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas. So Kelly Shannon, people are wondering about what do you see? When you see, I mean, you've been up there forever. You were an AP reporter. You know how laws sometimes die a terrible, painful death, slowly turning off the oxygen little by little up in Austin until it just withers away. Even great laws that everyone says ought to be passed. Are you afraid that this is going to happen to this?
Well, I'm not necessarily afraid that that's going to happen, but I think Representative Capriglione put it well in a press conference a couple of weeks ago. Those who might fight it will probably fight it in the darkness. We won't necessarily know where it's coming from, because everybody likes to say that they are about transparency and open government. But when it gets right down to it, who's going to vote for it? Who's going to take a stand? Most people want to vote for it. And I don't think there will be lots of very loud opposition, because, you know, we are all about openness and participating in our government and our democracy. I think it's important that these bills were filed early, and we're getting a good early start on it. And we have been working with different stakeholders who are concerned about the Texas Public Information Act. We've been working with them for months to get these ideas into shape. It's not like we're just getting started on it now. So I think we've got a good running start, and it won't be something that just pops up and then is there for the first time to everybody know about in April or May. We're right here right now saying this is important. Let's get going on it.
So, Representative Cabriglione, is that what you're hearing? Some lawmakers are saying, this is a great bill, but, you know, I really can't get behind it.
Right now what I'm doing is I'm going around with a co-author sheet, doing all that kind of stuff. But I think in private, it's not necessarily the lawmakers, but there's other groups who said, well, you know, could you change this, or how about this other deal? Because, of course, you know, some people benefit from not being able to have this information, but I'll tell you who doesn't. You know, a lot of people say, well, what does this really mean? To the average person, what does this mean? Well, it could mean that you're going to pay a lot more for services, okay? I mean, if you look at the Boeing case, actually, inside the Boeing case, one of the arguments that Boeing makes is, hey, we don't want this information to come out there because our competitors may undercut us. Well, what undercut us means that someone might be able to provide, if they have that information, might be able to provide the same service for less money. So I think, you know, when we talk about who's for it and who's against it, there's obviously people who, whose interests are varied and so on. But my job and the senators and Kelly Shannon's is to go and just continue to talk to members. I was doing that today before the governor's State of the State, getting people to co-author it. So I got six or seven more co-authors just today. So that's what we'll be doing.
And Senator Watson, sometimes bills get killed for the out of pettiness. You know, you won't back my bill, or, you know, you put up a strong opposition to a bill that I really like. Well, I'm going to kill all of your bills and put a hold on it just because I can.
Well, I agree with both Kelly and the representative. It's filed early, which gives us lots of time. It also gives us lots of time to figure out who might be messing with things. But it also, as Representative Capriccio says, gives us opportunity to talk with members. Today, the way we do it in the Senate is we have these little green cards that you turn in if you have a co-author. And today I had two new co-authors.
Nice.
And it's bipartisan. We're getting bipartisan response. It's, you know, it's early in the session, which gives us time to talk and answer people's questions. And so I'm feeling pretty excited about where we are. But he's right. The darkness always comes, and there will be those who will try to hurt this in the darkness.
Leadership helps. Anything from Lieutenant Governor Patrick, Governor Abbott, to Speaker Strauss, Senator?
Well, no, not specifically. But, for example, the chair of the Finance Committee has signed on as a co-author. So committee chairs and others and other leadership on the Senate floor are signing on, and so I feel very good about that.
Yeah, same here. The chair of the Calendars Committee, Todd Hunter, is a strong supporter of this bill as well. So, you know, that's what we have to do. You know, all of this is a long 500-step process, but I think some of the key people that both Senator and I need are supportive of this.
And, but I mean, are you like going, why won't Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick?
I don't, when I file bills, I don't always go and say, I need you to hold a press conference on my bills. That's really not the way I work a bill in the Senate. And the good news is, as Kelly pointed out, you have such a big coalition helping on this. The representative and I have put together legislation that we worked very closely with a lot of different groups. They were very helpful to us. And what I tend to do in working the Senate is I work the senators. You got to have enough votes to get the bill to suspend the rules so that you can get the bill to the floor and then have the votes to pass it. So I'm not concerned at all, because the truth of the matter is I hadn't gone to the Lieutenant Governor to ask him his opinion one way or another. I'm working the senators.
Any organizations stepping forth in opposition? Texas Association of Business, Realtors, any of these powerful lobbying groups?
Not publicly, no. I don't see any
not
of them would publicly go and say they were against this. But there have been people I know, different groups that have been walking around trying to, you know, it's the same thing with any bill. I mean, I do think, you know, there's, again, it's early in the process and there's still plenty of time. We're optimistic. I think all of my bills are going to pass still at this point. So, but I know most won't. So, but,
that's so good.
But we're, I don't see anyone going and saying or going on record as saying, no, we're going to be opposed to that. But, again, we had the same thing. We just, the senator and I were in a panel this morning talking about ethics. Again, who's going to say they're against ethics? And yet we didn't pass it.
Session, so. Well, and we have heard of some groups that may be sending out faxes. They're very careful in the way they word it to make sure, or not faxes, but emails. I just showed my age, didn't I?
I
apologize for that. How embarrassing. But anyway, they're sending out emails, and they're very careful in the way they word things. It's just calling attention to it as opposed to being on the record as opposed to it. But look, we're in very good shape right now, and I anticipate that. I'm kind of like the representative. I feel very positive that we'll have a good result.
But what do you have this shadow?
And the noise you hear in the background is me knocking on wood.
Okay.
Yeah. but it is important that people call on any bill, on this bill especially. We're all here in Austin, right? So just call. Come in. go on Facebook, whatever, and say, hey, this is a bill that's important to me as a taxpayer, it's important for me, as someone who cares about transparency, it's important to me, send that note. And I'll tell you, it's amazing how, I mean, everyone thinks that we get millions and millions of emails. You know, just one really good one might be enough to help get that on the co-author sheet.
And do people need to know Senate Bill 407, or people can just say, I support closing the loophole that lets hiding, you know, I support transparency, or what do the people need to say?
What you just said, Senate Bill, it's in the Senate, it's Senate Bill 407 and Senate Bill 408, two separate bills. And they can specifically cite those, or they can say they want to close the loopholes in the Public Information Act. And that's the way I'm talking about this to my fellow senators.
But when these operating in the shadows, these opponents to this bill, means that we really need people who support this to actually take action. We just can't assume that good bills get passed on their own simply because they make sense and who would oppose this. There's always something, there's a competition against other bills for time and energy in the limited amount of days that you have in Austin. And so you really have got to fight for your place in the queue. I mean, is that right, Representative?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're already over 2,200, 2,300 bills that have been filed. So while these are probably two of the more important ones, the senator and myself, there are still only 0.01% of the total, right? So there's a lot of stuff going on. There's some big issues as well. I mean, we heard from the state of the state, everything from school finance, border security, all of that is going on. So it really does help when people call and say, hey, I heard on the radio today that these bills, can you go find out about them? I want you as my rep or my legislator to support them. And we need mindshare, right? On all of this stuff, you have to just try and get a sliver of the mindshare amongst other lawmakers.
And Kelly Shannon, as a former AP reporter and the executive director of the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas, is this going to getting ink and airtime? Will people find out about it through their media?
Yeah, it is getting ink and airtime. And since we are getting a good early start on it, we have the opportunity to really share this around the state so people understand how it affects them. And there are ways that you might not even think about it. We're trying to tell the story of how it is good for business to be able to see the contracts that our government awards. For instance, I was contacted the other day by someone in East Texas who had, she's like a small businesswoman, had tried to get in on some procurement action with Lone Star College and was not even able to see the final winning bid contract so that she could know next time how to better bid and maybe win some of that, some of those contracts. So, you know, business people, particularly mid-sized and small business people, have a real interest in this, and we're trying to get the word out that there's many different ways that this affects people.
And I really want to find out how much McCallum paid Enrique Iglesias to entertain folks down.
And Representative Capriccio will tell you, every time we've been together, I have offered to the universe, whatever that contract is, I will sing for half the price.
All right. I want to thank both of our guests, Kirk Watson, a state senator from District 14, and Giovanni Cabriglione, the Texas House representative from District 98, talking about closing the loophole in the Texas Freedom Information Act. And it is House Bill, have them right here.
792, 793 for the House bills.
All right. Thank you all so much. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.